Good morning, 821 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. You know, we've been talking all morning about the Trump speech last night, the convention in general. We're going to have Michelle Salzman on for the wrap because she is still here with us in Milwaukee. I hope she's not trapped like a lot of people are going to be today because of all the flight cancellations. I thought the speech was somber. I thought it was a changed Donald Trump. I think that he tried to make the point about pulling down the rhetoric a little bit. I don't blame him at all. I think the fact that he was able to do the speech and tell the, you know, he made a point of saying, I'm going to tell this one time, because I don't want to have to tell this again. It's too hard.
As you already know, the assassin's bullet came within a quarter of an inch of taking my life. So many people have asked me, what happened? Tell us what happened, please. And therefore, I will tell you exactly what happened. And you'll never hear it from me a second time because it's actually too painful to tell.
Absolutely believe that's true. I know. I mean, there may come a time later when he's willing to tell it again. You know, it's, you know, when you go through trauma, you have a reaction to it now, and then you might have a reaction to it later. He was very clearly affected by this, and he let it out at one point where he really believed that he not should have died in some, like, it would have been better if, but, like, he's coming to grips with the idea that he should have died, and he didn't.
From a much greater distance and with only one bullet used.
This is the Secret Service firing back.
Took the assassin's life, took him out. I'm not supposed to be here tonight. Not supposed to be here.
I mean that moment. Yeah. And the love coming from the crowd to encourage him, having survived.
Thank you. But I'm not. And I'll tell you, I stand before you in this arena only by the grace of Almighty God.
So he was clearly struggling with that. And it, no surprise, what, 5 days after? You know? I mean, ridiculous to be giving a speech at a convention 5 days later. And to be going for an hour and a half or an hour and three quarters with some script, but a lot of off script. It was not the great campaign speech of his normal tone. It was clearly not. To do it at all was impressive. And I know, look, I have had my own thoughts about the depth of his religiosity or his conversion or his sincerity about religion. Many other people have had that as well. That was not in the script. That we could see the teleprompter from where we were. That was not in the script. And I absolutely believe him. I think that when you're, you know, you believe in God, and you maybe don't know everything, which is clearly where he's been at for a long time. You have an incident like that, and you think differently about stuff. You think about things that maybe it's never honestly really occurred to him that he's going to die one day. You know, that's normal for people. Maybe he thinks he's, you know, invincible. I mean, that would, when I say that, it doesn't surprise you to hear that about Donald Trump. And all of a sudden, he was, you know, inch to inch with his own mortality, having to think about that and watching, you know, the coach or the fire chief that got killed and other people that got wounded. I mean, you know, he's dealing with it and he's fighting to be able to do a speech like this at all, and to watch the convention, to watch people talk about him getting shot, and to hear all that over and over, and to be re-traumatized by it. Anyway, there were notable things and there were impressive things, and it would be very unsurprising to me that he would have an invigorated faith or need to have faith and pray and thank God and feel that way about his own life. That's just not even at all surprising. 826 here on News Radio Pensacola. Andrew McKay broadcasting live, our last day in Milwaukee at the RNC, coming home hopefully later today. This broadcast is brought to you in part by and sponsored by Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli. We super appreciate them making this possible. John Pickens back in Pensacola with traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by ECUA. ECUA Bulk Waste Services now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Again, if you're headed on I-10 westbound, trying to get on to I-110 southbound, the accident has been moved over the side of the road. The delay is not as much, but it's still there. So, again, my advice, take Davis down to airport, and then airport you can rejoin 110. I'm John Pickens with a look at your traffic on the fives.
Oh, it's back to me, isn't it? We got so used to doing it the other way, and I can't see you. It's so funny. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our head. Oh, and by the way, I've got an hour of sleep, hour and a half of sleep. So I was up at late last night cutting up the audio after the 11:30 finish for the RNC last night. So if we only dropped the ball a couple of times today, that's on me, and I think you'll have to forgive us. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich has been sentenced to 16 years in Russian prison after being found guilty on an espionage charge. Gershkovich has denied any wrongdoing. The Wall Street Journal has called the case a sham, and the U.S. government says he was wrongfully detained and has condemned the charges. That case went to trial last month, about 15 months now since he's been arrested. A federal appeals court blocking the Biden administration from implementing more student debt relief. The 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals Thursday granted a request by seven Republican-led states to put parts of the Biden student debt relief plan on hold. And it looks like they're finally getting their power situated in Houston after Hurricane Beryl earlier this month. The number of residents still without power, though, is numbering in the thousands.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. By the way, I have really appreciated all the texts and messages y'all have sent us, that you appreciated the coverage and the sort of the our way of seeing it and talking about it with Bobby Rossi here, who's been also just fantastic, helping me navigate all of the technological challenges and really doing all the work so that all I had to do was get on the radio, get on the headset and talk. He's been fantastic. I will say this. We haven't mentioned
Please,
this.
Andrew's the one that keeps picking out all the food places and all the places we've been eating. I think we gained like 10 pounds on this trip.
You're not complaining, right? That's a thing.
I'm not complaining.
You spelled
that was
it
a,
weird.
Yeah, that was
okay. The one thing that I think it was on, see, we don't see with the TV. Like, we don't see what you're seeing at home because we're seeing it in person. Sorry. And, you know, one of the things that somebody had asked Bobby yesterday, that he was doing a radio interview, and they're like, well, this and this and this. He's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. We're just here. Whatever you're seeing on the outside, like, we're in this event. We're in this bubble. People are loving it, having a great time. So I don't take for granted that you saw this, but last night, while President Trump was watching Eric Trump give his speech, he had the granddaughter on his lap.
Yeah.
And I took a picture of it. It's from a distance. It's a little bit grainy, but you can see it. And it's just, obviously, that was part of the strategy, mm-hmm. was humanizing President Trump, and very successful at that. It's not like they were making something up. It's just that that's not a part of him that he shows.
Yeah.
And, you know, showing her just sitting there on grandpa's lap.
He's just grandpa.
Yeah. She doesn't know.
Nope.
You know, she doesn't know and wouldn't care anyway. And, you know, obviously we heard, you know, from Kai Madison, you know, earlier in the week, same kind of thing. But it was just it was a really neat picture. And I was really glad that I was able to notice that and catch it and have a phone that was good enough that I could 30 zoom in and catch the picture.
Yeah, mine didn't do that.
Yeah.
Good grief.
I will also say people wearing the ear pad themselves seemed a little weird to me. I get you're trying to express solidarity, but it caught me off guard at first. I'm like, what's going on? And I'm like, oh, that's part of the uni now.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. A secretive trial in a Russian court has sentenced Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich to 16 years on charges of espionage. Former President Trump, in a change of tone, saying, I stand before you only by the grace of God.
I am running to be president for all of America.
In his acceptance speech before the Republican National Convention, recounting the attempt on his life only once, honoring the firefighter killed, Corey Compitore's funeral is today, concluding,
if the events of last Saturday make anything clear, It is that every single moment we have on Earth is a gift from God.
As Democrats pressure President Biden to withdraw from the race or likely lose to Trump, the fix is in on a global tech outage that grounded flights, disrupted some commutes, banks, and doctors. CrowdStrike blames a security update for Windows operating system.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio Pensacola. Right now we've got some rain across the area. It's 77 degrees. We are starting to see some flights that have been delayed by this CrowdStrike software outage out at the Pensacola airport. The FAA earlier this morning said that all flights from Delta, United, American, and Allegiant were grounded because of a technical issue. American Airlines later said they'd been able to reestablish some of their operations. It's unclear how long the flights will actually be delayed, but we are seeing some delays on American and Delta flights this morning as far as departures go. Also seeing a few flight arrivals that are being delayed for a few hours this morning. So if you have a flight this morning at the Pensacola Airport, you may want to check their online flight status board. You can get to that at flypensacola.com. A 23-year-old Milton man's been arrested, accused of starting a wildfire in Santa Rosa County back in April. This week, Florida Commissioner of Agriculture Wilton Simpson said the arrest of Ty Stephen Meldrum, who's charged with a third-degree felony of intentional burning of lands. And they say back on April 27th, crews from Baghdad, Avalon Volunteer, and Florida Forest Service all responded to that fire. It was on Garcon Point Road. It was contained after burning about an acre of woodland. While being questioned by investigators, Meldrum admitted that his motive was to get hired by a fire department by demonstrating his ability to assist in extinguishing that fire. A local family now reacting after an arrest was made 1 year after the death of a retired Navy Master Chief. Earlier this week, 41-year-old Jessica Hendrickson was arrested in Kentucky, accused in the fatal hit-and-run on Sorrento Road last year. Investigators say she ran into 61-year-old Jeff Nichols from behind and then fled the scene. Nichols' family talked to Channel 3 after the arrest.
He wouldn't want us to continue to live in the pure misery that we've lived in this past year.
I pray now for the person's family, because even though we lost someone, that person's family also lost someone.
Hendrickson now awaiting extradition to Escambia County. Charges have yet to be announced. Well, the reports about President Biden's potential dropout causing a bit of a buzz at the Republican National Convention this week. Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio had some words about Vice President Kamala Harris's record.
Biden was a figurehead for leftist policies, radical left-wing policies. Kamala Harris is a legitimate left-wing political person.
Rubio also said that former President Donald Trump made a good selection for his running mate by picking Ohio Senator J.D. Vance. Shark bite incident in South Florida yesterday. This happened in Miami-Dade. Firefighters say a nurse shark bit a child. The child was bitten on the leg and treated at the scene and reportedly didn't need to be taken to the hospital. Also, Senator Rick Scott asking the president to answer questions about the attempt on Donald Trump's life. Senator Scott sending a letter to President Joe Biden yesterday. Scott says he's demanding that Biden and Secret Service Director Kim Cheadle provide answers, transparency, and accountability in amid the investigation into that shooting. It's 8:35 at News Radio Pensacola, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still dealing with that accident that happened if you're traveling westbound on I-10 and trying to get off on the 110 South exit right there to go to I-110 South. There's still an accident that's moved over the side of the road, but I'm still seeing delays that are backing that up. So, again, my advice is to take get off of the Davis Highway exit, go down to airport, and then you can rejoin I-110. That's a look at your traffic on the fives. I'm John Pickens.
We are going to be seeing some scattered showers and thunderstorms as we go through the morning and into the afternoon. 70% chance of rain overall. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. As we go into Saturday, 70% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 77. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 77 in Pensacola, 74 in Gulf Breeze, 77 in Milton,
and rain across the area. Your money now. Well, not a great start for the markets this morning. The Dow down 228 points at 40,436. S&P down just under 2 points now at 55.43. The NASDAQ is up by just over 5 points at 17,876. And your 10-year bond rate up slightly right now at 4.23%. Gold prices down $59 at $23.97.40. Silver prices down $1.13 at $29.08. And Bitcoin up $1,008.40 at $64,579.77. A few other cryptos mixed. Ethereum's up about $20. Litecoin down. Bitcoin Cash down as well. And a global cyber outage today wreaking havoc on computer systems all around the world. It's affecting airlines, banks, other systems. It even knocked Channel 3 News off the air early this morning. The issue apparently triggered by a software update by CrowdStrike cybersecurity firm. The CEO of CrowdStrike said this morning they were actively working with customers globally and that a fix was being deployed. Amazon Prime Day 2024 was one for the record books. Adobe Analytics estimating consumers spent $14.2 billion over the course of the two-day Amazon Prime sale. That's up 11% from last year. And Netflix is getting rid of its cheapest ad-free plan. The $11.99 a month basic plan is just being phased out. The company has already stopped accepting new signups under that plan. Users had been allowed to keep the plan for a time, but they'll soon have to choose another and more expensive plan. It's 8:38. Our next news at 9. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
Saturday, July 13th.
Take a look at what happened.
An attempted assassination of former President Trump.
For those of you just tuning in here, the president was having a rally in Pennsylvania. He was just addressing a crowd, and when he winced and grabbed his ear, then he heard the shot and went down.
Out of all of the broadcast media in Pensacola, only one had full team coverage.
We do know that Donald Trump is fine.
News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Yes, it is the wrap, and we got a slightly modified version today because typically this means that I have two friends in studio. We're not in studio. I do have friends again today. Typically, I don't do any elected officials or officials of any kind because, you know, we may not get their unscripted moments and all that. And but I know with Michelle Salzman, I will get 100 unscripted moments because that's actually, you know, if she had a call sign as a pilot, it would be Michelle Unscripted Moment Salzman. It's a terrible call sign. It's supposed to be two syllables, but that would be hers. And Bobby Rossi, who, of course, has been with me this whole week at the RNC. So, Michelle, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Well, good morning. It's exciting.
So we've been talking all morning, but we have not talked to you since last night. What was your thought after the Trump speech?
Man, it was long.
Yes, it was.
God bless America.
And it was longer than the script. It was longer than the speech was supposed to be, for sure.
Oh, my God. My husband and I were like, how much longer do you think? I don't know. How much longer do you think? Like, the whole crowd around us was, I mean, of course we came there to see the president talk, obviously.
Right.
But, man, it was like 11:30 or something. I don't even remember. It was so late.
It was.
And you have to sit in those seats for hours. Mm-hmm. But it was good. I felt like, honestly, the most important thing for me, just from my personal perspective, is the fact that we're actually trying to create some sort of unity, not just in the party, but in the nation. The idea, we slimmed down the platform, which I gave you an official copy of. So
big changes in the platform.
I know.
Lots of changes in the platform.
I know. It's so funny. I was like, when I told you, I said, oh, we changed. You're like, I hadn't heard that yet. I said, you know, interesting. When I asked, what were the changes, because I wasn't on that committee. I had been a part of conversations previously, providing input and, you know, trying to push the needle over a little bit, because to be honest with you, I felt like we were too exclusive in the first place. But whenever I asked, they said, oh, you know, we just, it's a slimmed down version. It's just more compact. There's not so many details. And I thought, okay, so that was evasive.
Yes, super. And false. I mean, definitely false. Because we talked about this earlier in the show, hadn't gotten into it in much depth today, just because we've been covering the actual speeches and stuff. But, you know, on abortion, that's uh-huh. been publicized, okay, that, you know, the abortion was in the 2016 platform 35 times, and it was a fundamental right to life which cannot be infringed. Now it's states' rights issue, and that's the one line is all there is to it. On gay issues, LGBT issues, you know, the Republican platform used to be against gay marriage, used to be very clear about that. That's all gone. All it says now is we believe in the sanctity of marriage and doesn't define what that means.
Yep.
It's a little bit more, you know, they don't want the you know, the it's Republicans will end left-wing gender insanity, but that's about men and women's sports, taxpayer-funded schools for promoting gender transition and so forth. But whether you know, kids, medical provision, all that stuff is not even mentioned in the so and also the debt stuff, like, you know, being basically against debt has kind of been a Republican thing for a long time, and that's all gone too. Like, it's a major revamp of the platform.
Yeah, it really is. I was like, when I got, they were on our seats as delegates. You got those cute little packets, that pocketbook thing that I gave you. And I'm looking at that and I'm like, this isn't just less words, but it's okay. I mean, they're trying to be very careful. We don't want to push out the super conservative or the Christian conservatives, because, you know, those are very important components of our party. But what we are trying to do is bring in those that are maybe registered R and just don't want to vote R because of, you know, the right to life conversation. I'm pro-life, as many know, extremely pro-life. But I actually believe that it should be left to the states. And so I'm really grateful to see that. And then, of course, the marriage component, I love that we did that too. I feel like if you're a true conservative, you're not trying to push your conservative values on your neighbor because you believe in conservatism, which is I get to think how I want to think, leave me alone in my home, you know, and when I come out into the public, we behave how, you know, however our laws decide. So
I would say it leans a lot more libertarian, which, of course, is Trump's own view. And now that's, you know, and I am more of I am a social conservative, so I'm not a libertarian. And I think a lot of the people who are that way have been the heart of the Republican Party for so long. And all of a sudden, mm-hmm. you might wake up and think, my party moved. And it absolutely has moved more in line with him.
I don't think people are talking about that enough. I think people are so excited that we're finally to that moment where Donald Trump is the nominee. And now we're finally seeing what the news has not been showing, which is Biden really just needs to be at home and enjoying his last years of life with his family instead of being used as a puppet. I mean, it breaks my heart to see what he's going through. I don't care how you feel about him. He's a human being in the end. And gosh, they have just been stringing him along. And these are his last years of his life. And this is what he's going to be known for. So that's really horrible. But I think everybody's been so focused on that, they haven't really paid attention to what's really happening behind the curtain. And I'm a Christian conservative, and my voters know that. I mean, they can check my voting record. But my message has always been try to create some sort of positive unity within the community and love everybody. It doesn't matter what your voting registration is at the end of the day. What matters is, do you feel loved? Do you feel safe? You know, do you feel like you really are in America? And so I think we've moved a little bit towards that on the platform itself. What I was explaining to some folks a couple days ago on the floor, because I'm a member of the executive board, and a lot of people come to me and they ask me, well, how do we get here? How do we get there? You know, we're trying to unify the country. We're trying to unify the party. And the original platform we had when Donald Trump was elected was what the party created. It wasn't really indicative of what Donald Trump felt per se.
Oh, like, definitely. As you said, it was an ill fit for him.
Yeah,
just like the tradition. Yeah, and just like the tradition of the Republican Party is an ill fit for Trump, if you line his values and beliefs up with the traditional Republican Party, they do not align on a lot of issues.
Nope.
And so in the beginning, when he was an outsider within the party, he has now taken over the party, and what was traditional Republicanism does not have a party, really, right now. We're kind of the outsiders in the party. We need to take a quick break. John Pickens is back in Pensacola with our Traffic on the Fives.
That's right. If you're traveling on Blue Angel Parkway in 98, we've got an accident. No roadblock, but it's causing some delays on Blue Angel, so just be aware of that. Also, if you're traveling I-10, trying to get onto southbound I-110, that accident has been moved to the side of the road, but we're just seeing minor delays there. I'm John Pickens with a look at your traffic on the Fives.
You know, recently one of our salespeople came to me and said, Andrew, do you feel comfortable representing Pensacola State College? I'm like, comfortable? I love PSC. Of course I can. You bet. My family has had a great experience there. We have three boys who we homeschooled, okay? My wife homeschooled, but still, you get the point. And two of them have now gone to university, but they started at PSC. Dual enrolled as high school students, so homeschool kids taking college classes for high school and college credit for free, because that's how dual enrollment works. No cost for books or classes. Teachers who understood teaching and were motivated by teaching. I used to teach at community college and university. I'm telling you, community college teachers are the best. They're great. And also, you know, afford like reasonable class sizes. They work with you on schedule. If you have any questions or problems, everybody's very eager to help. Like, it was the great transitional experience for both of my boys who have now gone to college, university, with a year and a half of college credit under their belt. Campuses in Pensacola, Warrington, Milton, Century, South Santa Rosa Center, downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at pensacolastate.edu.
Just in time for the summer season, Piedmore Imports has new Volkswagens being delivered daily with cool savings on their most popular models. Drive the family-sized 2024 Atlas or Atlas Cross Sport with 0.9% APR for 60 months. Or take $3,500 in customer cash. The mid-size Tiguan available now with 1.9% APR for 60 months or $2,500 in customer cash. And the sporty Taos crossover with the same 1.9% APR or $2,000 in customer cash. Plus, the four-door Jetta sedan with amazing fuel economy, performance, and style has $2,000 in customer cash or an APR rate of 2.9 for 60 months. This Volkswagen lineup will take you through summer with cooler savings than before at Piedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Piedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualifying credit through PCI. See dealer for details.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
How long could your business function without email? I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. Three Gulf Coast businesses had their email shut down for 2 days because one employee clicked a spam email link. Be suspicious of any unsolicited email offers, especially if they are too good to be true. Businesses on the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
Culver's knows that everyone appreciates a fresh meal that comes from the heart. They take great-tasting burgers seriously. Culver's Butter Burger begins as fresh, never-frozen beef seared to perfection, then topped with real Wisconsin cheese and a lightly buttered toasted bun. And for a limited time, the Pretzel House Pub Burger is back. Visit Culver's today. Mobile Highway at Softly Field, Bayou Boulevard at Cordova, and Highway 90 in Milton. Third-party delivery is now available with DoorDash and Uber Eats. Culver's, welcome to delicious.
Good morning, 8:50 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. Final day of our broadcast series from Milwaukee, which has been a fascinating city. Everything from the security to the food. to the food, to the food, to the convention, to the architecture. And we've been hanging out with Michelle Salzman all week. She is our only Escambia person, and she's been a great help to us. And Bobby Rossi is here with me as well. Bobby, haven't heard from you too much this morning on the wrap. I know we've been talking all morning, and you're trying to solve your flight stuff.
Yeah.
But what did you think of the platform shift? We talked about it before the break that the Donald Trump has reshaped the Republican Party in his image, clearly. Yeah. I think that's why he picked J.D. Vance. Whether because he's moldable or because he's already there, I think that's been the point of that. The presentation from the speakers has largely been that, in addition to opening the tent up and inviting everybody else to come in. But
well, I think what you said is really what I was thinking, which is it does align a little bit more with the libertarian point of view, where libertarians are more like, socially, well, on social issues, are more like, look, as long as your social life doesn't mess with my social life, then do what you want to do. The fiscal conservative part concerned me a little bit.
Yeah.
But even Trump last night saying it was the first time I've heard him say, when I get elected, I'm going to bring down the debt. Mm-hmm. But if that's not in the platform though.
Yeah, right.
But the problem, and maybe the reason why they abandoned that part is because what we've seen in the past is when Republicans have had control of the House and the Senate, they've also not reduced the debt. So yeah. If you're not going to follow the platform anyway, then
what's the point of having there?
Yeah.
Follow through on your promises or don't make them. Yeah.
But I was shocked you said it. I mean, it was an hour and a half long speech, and that part was probably the biggest part that stuck out to me. I was like, oh, what did he say?
Yeah.
Yeah. He brought it up a couple of times right in that small moment right there.
Yep.
He brought that up a couple of times. I thought, okay, all right. And so, I mean, that's one of the things I was hoping with him the first time around, you know, and so I thought that was pretty powerful. Michelle, though, I would like to get your thoughts on the kind of shift from fight, fight, fight to win, win, win. Did that surprise you?
No. You know, like I told you guys earlier in the week, and we've been discussing, you know, as I've been introducing you to folks, it's really, you know, the message is not fight physically, not fight, you know, your neighbor, but fight for the win in the end. Go get out there and go vote. Get out there and get people to vote. Get people to register to vote. Make sure they're not complacent. And so when you change it from fight to win, it also, I believe, creates the connotation that you already know you're there. So the fighting is like, oh, we got to climb our way and claw our way to it. And then when we can see the path to victory, now we're on to winning. And so I think it was really, they did a really good job of lining up the messages. If you just rewind your mind and just process through every day and the speakers that we had every day, they were all intentionally lined up that way to create a narrative of, you know, this is where we've started. You know, this is where we want to go. These are the people that have helped us get there. These are my friends from the beginning, you know. And some of the speakers last night, I was just like, okay, I know everybody loves you, Trump. Like,
that's kind of what you said, yeah. Andrew.
Yeah,
he was a great boss. Okay.
I was, and I thought some of the like the humanizing stuff that was done on Tuesday and Wednesday was powerful.
Yep.
The humanizing stuff they tried to do last night, kind of weak sauce. Even including like the Kid Rock lip syncing. I mean, it just didn't land for me at all, and his friends and all this stuff. But some of the stuff was great. I'm just curious. You know, you saw the convention with your eyes. We've been telling people what we think. I'm curious if you had a most memorable moment, maybe one from in the convention and then maybe one from outside the, you know, the normal coverage, something that happened here that you thought was interesting.
Oh, and a most memorable moment. I would compress that into a bunch of the different speakers that were just sharing their stories of how the Biden administration had failed them. You know, I'll go ahead and just stop right there. I mean, wow. I don't know how many people could love their country as much as I do. They literally call me Miss America in the Capitol. I always say, is your bill American? You know, how does this help America? That's the questions I ask when they put policy in front of me. I'm like, how does this better America? You know, and they have to answer those questions. And if they're new, they don't have a clue what the heck I'm saying. They think it's some sort of punk, but it's real. Like, how do you help America?
Right.
And that moment when those parents, those, you know, the grandparents and the brothers and sisters came out there and they just shared their story. They have not been able to share their story on a platform like that ever. I mean, individually, they've been interviewed and things like that. And so I just think that it was a moment of closure for the family, but it was really a moment of, awakening for America, who doesn't really understand that these families just really were just left by the wayside. Like, you know, sorry, your family's dead. They served their country well. And you're like, whoa, hold on a minute. Like, why are they dead? Like, what? They weren't supposed to be dead. They were fine yesterday. It's a different scenario than if I'm sorry, you know, mom, I'm packing my rucksack. I've got to go into combat. I don't know if I'll make it home. Like, I mean, anytime you leave the country, you don't know if you're coming back, obviously. But this was just, it was just so surreal. And I was front stage, so I could see the tears running down these. I mean, I could see everybody.
Literally, you were 15 feet from the speakers. I mean, you
could,
were watching.
Yes. And last night I was like 20 feet from Trump. Like I could have spit on him. He was so close to me. Most of the night. So you could see the expressions on
the proximity gauge, according to Michelle Salzman.
Yes. How far you can spit.
How far can you spit?
That's one loogie. That's one loogie with a run. That's it.
I have to spit twice.
I'm the manhandle. It's just how it goes.
That's right.
So how about something from off the stage, something from outside?
Oh gosh. Well, I'll tell you the thing that really resonated was the violence that was taking place. I mean, it was a lot. There were people climbing the fences. There were people, somebody tried to bring a gun in. A guy on body cam is trying to stab someone. Police shoot him because they're, you know, sticking up for the other person's life. And there are protesters saying that we're killing Black America. And I'm like, you have body cam footage. It's not even he said, she said. You can totally tell this guy was going to stab this other man. They clearly gave all of the notification that they were, you know, stop, put the weapon down, drop the weapon. I mean, and then there's and then the other guy who goes into the gas station with a gun and starts shooting people. He's dead. And the mayor gets on TV. This blew my mind, Andrew. The mayor got on TV about 2 hours before I went up to the convention center to get my spot and said, what you're going to hear on TV from the Republican National Convention are all lies. And I'm like, dude, we're in your city giving you hundreds of millions of dollars. and you're over, like, could you, what are
and
you
I love,
doing
I love
right
Trump's
now?
Line last night about how, you know, we're giving you all this money. Hey, I'm trying to buy your vote. Like as a joke, you know, it's kind of funny.
But
okay.
It's so, funny.
So the reason I laughed when you said that, I thought you were making a sarcastic comment because we didn't see
Andrew and I've been saying we haven't seen
anything
violence.
Like that. Yeah. I mean, I know there's been at a distance, but the protests have been, I mean, not even an echo of a whisper
a joke
of a protest.
Of a protest.
Yeah. So there's nothing
not within
like
the
that.
Perimeter, within the perimeter. Right. You couldn't have been in a safer place in the world. If you were inside the perimeter, you know, you had 20, every foot there was a cop or maybe 20 policemen. And I mean, it was, and I hope they released the numbers of the law enforcement from around the globe that came to this convention.
And
to help.
They were like the friendliest too. They were
they
would
so
talk
nice?
With us. They were the best.
Yeah. No, so there was no violence within the perimeter, but outside the perimeter.
Michelle, I thought you were going to say your highlight outside of the actual sessions was hanging out with Andrew and myself.
I'm sorry. My highlight was being with my friends. I'm like, look, let's just be real. We're going to tell the whole world. I was trying to sneak you into every event.
Yeah,
okay?
You were. Yeah.
And you succeeded once
you
or
succeeded,
twice.
Yeah.
Yes,
it was awesome.
No, I appreciate that. Well, Michelle, we're going to, if we wind up being at the DNC, I'm going to miss having you around to help us with all the stuff, but you've been fabulous all this week. Thanks for hanging out with us a couple of times on the radio. I appreciate it, and we'll see you back in Pensacola. That's it for the Milwaukee edition of The Wrap and the Pensacola Morning News. We'll see you back home on Monday.